Welcome to the Grace Abounding Broadcast, brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church that meets at 2970 Baird Road in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you today a message that seeks to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious person and finished work of salvation accomplished for sinners at the cross. Please stay tuned.
I'm reading for you today from the Epistle of Jude. Now, there's only one chapter, but what I want to do is read just the first two verses of this epistle and speak with you about the blessed assurance that belongs to those who are God's children. Now, in Jude chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied." Now, we have a hymn that we like to sing in our congregation that is entitled Blessed Assurance. I don't know how well that you know it, but one of the verses of this particular hymn that describes the blessed assurance is the first verse. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood." And then the chorus is, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." You see, in this matter of assurance of salvation, all of the glory and honor belongs unto God the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as revealed by His Spirit. We're heirs of salvation because of God's electing grace. He chose those He would save from eternity. But also purchase of God. It took the Lord Jesus Christ coming and laying down His life in order to satisfy God's law and justice, that those sinners that He purposed to save might be saved. And then born of His Spirit, that is, the Spirit of God in time, coming and revealing Himself in those that God has purposed to save and that Christ has redeemed. It's a simple message, but it goes so contrary to what people are taught today or what they believe in their own hearts, regardless of what the Word says. Those who are still blind and in the darkness of their depraved hearts still think that somehow something they do is what commends them to God. And certainly there are many preachers that come along and try to complement that false thinking by giving them more to do and telling them that it's up to them, that God really would like to save everybody, but they hold the key in their hand. Dear friend, that is so foreign to what the Scriptures teach. And certainly here in Jude writing this epistle to these readers, that's his purpose, to give all the glory and honor to God alone, as we find throughout the Scriptures. But notice how he begins here in Jude chapter 1 and verse 1. Very simply, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James." This is a common title that we find those who are the Lord's take for themselves. Here was Jude, who was the brother of James, one of the apostles, and yet he refers to himself in a very humble manner, the servant of Jesus Christ. In other words, anything that he has to say to them is because of Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. It's not just a mark of humility, but it shows us two things. First, that it was God who called him to serve in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, he obeyed Christ and faithfully performed the commands and the will of his master as any servant would. And that's my prayer even as I speak with you today, as a servant of Jesus Christ, not man's servant, not a servant of any denomination or organization, but of Jesus Christ. That's the mark of one who is truly sent of God, that one desires to glorify him. Now, in line with the theme, the subject of this message, blessed assurance, what is the blessed assurance of those who are the Lord's? Well, first of all, you note here he says, to them which are sanctified by God the Father. It's in verse 1. This is not talking about some personal internal sanctification, as you hear some men describe, that somehow with just a little effort or with God's help, that you can begin to sin less and less. No, dear friends, we sin because we're sinners. And if it were possible that somehow, as some say, with the Spirit's help, you can work toward perfection, then it wouldn't need to be said here to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Take a look at how that's put. This is a work that God the Father has done. And if it were so that somehow by our personal obedience we could in some way perfect ourselves, it wouldn't be necessary to read here and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So these aspects of the salvation of God that we're reading of here give all the glory to God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Spirit. Here we see the triune God at work, sanctified by God the Father, it says, preserved in Jesus Christ, there's the Son, and called by the Spirit, even though the Spirit's name is not specifically mentioned there. So, what is it to be sanctified by God the Father? This is the first fundamental to any assurance of salvation. It lies in God the Father. And to be sanctified refers here to that decree of God the Father to elect specific sinners to salvation. He chose those whom he would save. Now again, rebellious men and women find fault with such a doctrine, but it is the doctrine that gives assurance to the Lord's people that if they're the Lord's, it's because he chose them. We did not choose him. That could not be. But God did the choosing. The language here is taken from the Old Testament scriptures, and it's used of persons and things that were sanctified and set apart for and unto the Lord. You can read this with regard to God sanctifying the seventh day. It was a day of rest, and it was to be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he would come and finish, and that upon completion of his work, he would give his people rest. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And even with regard to the furniture in the tabernacle and in the temple, or the priesthood, all of those that served in that tabernacle, they are described as being sanctified or set apart unto the Lord. It's by God's choosing. In other words, God takes that which is ordinary and common, and by divine decree sets it apart for His glory. Just a simple illustration might be that you have a particular room that is set aside for one specific thing or activity. And if you have children that go in there and want to start messing around and doing other things, you stop them and you say, no, that's not the reason for this room. That's not the reason these items are in here. You've made a distinction. You've set apart certain parts of your house for certain activity. That's just a small way of describing how God Himself has chosen, set apart those sinners for whom Christ would come and pay the debt. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, in contrast to those that God has left to themselves in the first part of this chapter, it says in verse 11 and 12 that for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's talking about an awful lot of religious folk who think themselves somewhat before God, and yet they've never been brought to see that they're condemned, wretched sinners before a holy God. And I know these are terms that our modern world doesn't like to hear, but it's so. And the scriptures say that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. You cannot stand against the truth and live, dear friends. It's a matter of owning what we are before a holy God. But they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is anything other than the one righteousness of God that the Lord Jesus Christ came and earned and established, that God might be just to declare righteous sinners. But now in verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians 2, we read, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. And notice, beloved of the Lord. Beloved. Loved above all others. There is a people that God has loved and distinguished, set out. And it says here, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. It's a matter of having been chosen out by God that is this sanctification that we read about here in Jude chapter 1. To them that are sanctified by God the Father. And this isn't just in this one particular verse. There are many throughout Scripture, but I'll read one more. In Ephesians chapter 1, does this doctrine sound strange to your ears? I hope not, because it is fundamental to the assurance of being the Lord's, is that He has chosen me or you, you see, in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And this is what Ephesians 1, 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Notice, according to the good pleasure of His will. All you hear in preaching today is about man's will. Are you willing? No, it's has God been willing? It's all in Him, God the Father. So that's the first foundation of assurance. But coming back to Jude chapter 1, again, we read the second, and that is preserved in Christ Jesus. In other words, those who have been sanctified or set apart by God the Father in election, they are in Christ. Again, coming back to the scripture I just read in Ephesians 1 in verse 3, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's what election is. It's taking sinners and giving them to the eternal Son of God, that from eternity. When Christ came to this earth as a man, that wasn't the beginning of his existence. He is eternal God. He was manifest in the flesh, but eternal God. And when he came in the flesh, he came as the representative of those sinners that God the Father had given him from eternity. There's never been a time in which they were not in Christ, as far as him being the surety and the mediator. And so, preserved in Christ Jesus, chosen in him, put in his hands, redeemed by him, and therefore sanctified and declared holy by him. That's the end result. Again, in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him, in verse 4. When? Not when you believed. That's what false preachers say. Well, when you believe, then God chooses you. Or there's some that say, well, from eternity he chose you, but first he saw that you would believe. No, there was nothing to see in the sinner. But here it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And the end result is that we should be holy and without blame before him. I think I hear some saying, well, that's not fair, that's not right. How could God do that and be loving? Well, dear friend, the fact that he would even choose one to give to his son would be a loving act when you consider who we are. But again, the scriptures declare, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Those that are the children of God, they know that. We love him because he first loved us, is what John wrote in his first epistle. And it's all to the praise of the glory of his grace, Ephesians 1:6, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We haven't made ourselves accepted or acceptable, but whereby he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now all of this, again, is how we're preserved in Christ Jesus, kept in him. You take some perishable items and you put them in a jar, you can them, you preserve them, you keep them. That's the sense here, being put in Christ. The perishable item is the sinner, that apart from Christ would be corrupt and despicable, and yet preserved, kept in a state of preservation in which God himself has put that sinner forever. You see, so preserved in that sense, never to be lost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 2, this is how Paul writes to the church there in Corinth. He said, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Whose church is it? God's church. The word church there means called out ones. It's not everybody. But those that God has chosen, Christ has redeemed, the Spirit called out, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. The sense of sanctified there is having been sanctified and kept in that state of sanctification and called to be saints. Saints having been justified by person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Your friends, you can't be any closer to God than what you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not in him, then no amount of you pursuing holiness or chasing after God is going to bring you any closer to him. In fact, the more you strive, the more you build your condemnation, wrath upon wrath against the day of wrath. Now, he has to bring us to see our utter hopelessness apart from him, and to see that by his life and by his death, we've been made accepted in him and are kept by him. Now, when it says kept by him, it doesn't mean that we're kept from falling into sin. Now, we sin because we're sinners. We know ourselves to be sinners. We know that by nature, even as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, by nature, children of wrath, even as others. Oh, I grieve over that. And I'm sure if you're the Lord's, you do as well. That's to our shame and our sorrow that we fall. But we fall because we're fallen creatures. And yet none can fall away whom the Lord keeps. He's the great shepherd. And in John chapter 10 and verses 27 and 28, therein he gives that promise that of all that the Father has given him, he should lose nothing. He said, he lays down his life for his sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he says, I give unto them eternal life. How long is eternal life? It's forever. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I've had people ask me, well, do you think you can lose your salvation? Well, if it's my salvation, there was nothing to be gained in the first place. Nothing gained, nothing lost. I was never saved if it was my salvation. But God's salvation? No. He can never lose his salvation. Not that salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ came and worked out and established and earned on behalf of his people. And God is satisfied to such a point where Christ declares that of all that the Father has given him, he'd lose nothing. John 10:29, my Father which gave them me. There again, it goes back to the beginning. That election, that having been sanctified of the Father. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Oh, dear friend, what a blessed assurance to be sanctified by God the Father, but also preserved forever in Christ Jesus. But the third element, fundamental to this blessed assurance here in Jude chapter 1, is what we read here, and called. This isn't just some mere external calling by the preaching of the gospel. You could say, well, aren't all sinners called? Well, as God causes his gospel message to go out through the world, yes, the call of the gospel is to come to Christ. But here when it says, and called, this is not just some general call, but it has to do with the Spirit of grace calling and drawing and bringing to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance those that God the Father has chosen and Christ has redeemed. You see, there's a harmony in the Godhead. Father, Son, and Spirit doing the saving as one. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5, Paul writes to them saying, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So that might be a question that you have right now. I know I've had it. Well, how do I know I'm one of these elect of God? How do I know I'm one of those sinners for whom Christ died? Well, verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians 1 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And here it is, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So not in word only. There are many people that may hear me preaching this gospel message right now that it falls on deaf ears. But there may be one of God's sheep also listening, even now, for whom the Lord would take and bring this word home to their heart in power. See, that's the work of the Holy Ghost to do. Also in power. That word is the same word that would be used of one who was raised from the dead, because that's literally what it takes. God raising dead sinners to life. given them ears to hear, even as the Lord Jesus called to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. There wasn't any power in Lazarus. It took the Lord calling him, and then the Lord giving him ears to hear, but doing it by giving him the life necessary to rise up and walk out of that tomb. When the Scriptures declare to believe, none of us can believe except that the Lord give us the faith. The Scriptures command us to repent, but none can repent except that the Lord give that repentance. And so, this is the call. This is a special and effectual call whereby men are called out of darkness into light, out of bondage into liberty, and out of the world into the fellowship of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, that's what John declares, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So what's the grand conclusion? Well, come back here to my text in Jude, chapter 1 and verse 2. Jude, based upon this, says unto them, "Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied." I know that people like to stand up and say, "God bless you and God bless America," in some general way. But dear friends, God's blessing is in Christ alone. And those whom God the Father has purposed to save and has saved by the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. You see, that's the effect then of God being merciful. It's mercy. That's the effect of Christ having paid the sin debt for a sinner. It's peace. And that's the effect of the Spirit of God revealing Christ in the sinner. It's love. It's the love of God being shed abroad into the hearts of those sinners for whom Christ died. And that's how they know they're the Lord's. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. His mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. So when it says here mercy, that's God withholding from us, the sinner, the condemnation that was due us. Why? Because Christ has paid the debt. Mercy is a perfection of God. And it's revealed in a special manner through Christ to His own. We need eternal mercy. We need redeeming mercy. We need daily mercies. We need future mercy. But all of this is the result of God the Father having chosen and Christ having redeemed, the Spirit called. Peace. See, this is peace, first of all, through the blood of His cross, as He mentions in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. But also, not only the peace with God that comes through the blood of His cross, but peace in our own hearts and conscience. And then, obviously, peace among ourselves, those that are the Lord's. These are the fruits of God's grace, and what a blessed assurance it is. And then love. Here it's to be understood of that love of God toward His own. But also it says here, be multiplied, in the sense of how we manifest that love one with another. It's impossible to have one without the other. So I ask you, dear friend, is this your blessed assurance? Is it founded upon who God is, who His Son is, and who His Spirit is, and how it is that He's pleased to be merciful to sinners such as we are through the Lord Jesus Christ? I pray so.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast brought to you by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org or call 318-687-4943. Please plan to join us again next week.